there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
So good to see you. Welcome. As well shared, I'm Christian. I'm the Adults Ministry Pastor here at the Coeur d'Alene campus, and I'm excited to dig into God's Word together as we're in this series, The Real War. Everyone say The Real War. Yes. And so before we do that, I always love to pause and get our minds on God and who He is. I've been praying this prayer in Ephesians 3. I use this one a lot to help us get our minds around who our God is and what He says of us. It says this in Ephesians 3. It says, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts. As you trust in Him, your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. Listen to this in verse 18. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Can I get an amen? We have an amazing God who loves us, and it says that His love is deep and wide and long and high, that it is so great that you can't possibly fathom it. And Paul says, I pray that you would grasp this in your life, that your roots would grow into Him as you trust in Him, and then you will be made complete. If you are in here today, the way to be complete is in Jesus. It's in Jesus. And it says His word is alive and it is active and it is the power to transform the way that we think. God, who spoke the world into existence, has the same power in His words when we choose to believe and build our lives on it. And so as we dig into God's word with each other today, I pray that your heart would be open to receive that in your life. With that, we're in the series Real War. Everyone say The Real War. Satan tried to take out my mic, didn't work. Just kidding, he's not around every corner, but it is a funny joke. And as we get into today, we've been talking about Ephesians 6 each week. And Ephesians 6 says that we are in a war and we don't fight as humans do, that we have a spiritual enemy and that we are called to put on the armor of God. And each week we've talked about a different piece of the armor. And really the armor is really birthed from the truths of the gospel, that each of the pieces of armor are different pieces of different truths from the gospel that we have of Christ. And we've talked about things like the belt of truth, that we have to stand and know the truth. We've talked about the breastplate of righteousness, that we have the righteousness of Christ credited to us. We've talked about the shoes of peace, the shield of faith. And today we're talking about the helmet of salvation. And a little bit of bullets so that kind of go throughout our entire series. We have an enemy. He is powerful, but he is defeated. Can I get an amen? It says that God has made a public shame of him on his victory over him on the cross, that he is defeated. With that, we're still in a battle and we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Jesus says, it is finished, and he meant it. And so we fight to maintain the victory ground we already possess, and the enemy wants to distract you, divert you, tempt you, get you to quit, get you to believe his lies so that you'll stand off the victory ground that Christ has already gained for those who are in him. And here's two extremes. The devil loves to get us to think that he doesn't exist, which is not true. He exists. He is powerful. He also, on the other extreme, he is not around every corner. He is not God. Amen. He's not the example that I've liked to use in this series. And you pull up to a stoplight and it turns red and you're like, darn it, Satan, right? He's not around every corner. He's not around every corner, but he is powerful. And we have our own thoughts. We have our own emotions. We have what other people say, people's decisions. All of these things impact us. But the important thing to know is that we have victory in Christ. We are still in battles. We win the war. And it is said that we have to put on these pieces of armor. So with that, in our notes, we're under the section salvation. And when you go to Ephesians 6, it says, put on the helmet of salvation. That word there in the Greek, which is helpful for us to look at to get the fullness of the word so that we can understand how they translate it. Here are the different descriptors there. And the word is soterion for the word salvation. Saving, bringing salvation. He who embodies salvation or through whom God is about to achieve it. This is an interesting one. Defender. Salvation is a defender, a defense. This is another interesting word about it. It is the hope of future salvation. It is a defense now for the salvation we have in Jesus, that through Christ, we have salvation now. It is our defense now, but it is also the hope of that to be completed in the future, meaning we know we are saved, we have victory now, but we also are awaiting the promises to be fully lived out once we're in heaven. So it is both, it is all. So to put on the helmet of the salvation, a helmet is also something that helps protect your mind, your head. And for us, we know that the enemy comes at us in our minds. Has ever enemy ever come at you in your minds? Am I alone in this? He comes at us in our minds. And so we have to put this helmet on, which is a defense for both now and a hope that is in the future that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And we've come to believe this and we stand firm. We put this on. And if we're to look at what is salvation for us, I invite you through the journey of what does salvation mean? Why do we need saved? What do we need saved from? If I was walking out on the street and someone came up to me and I didn't see this, a bus was coming and was about to take me out. And then someone comes up, pushes me aside, saves me from what was coming. What is it that we need saved from? We know this and it is an amazing reminder for us. The Bible makes it clear in Romans 3 that you can't have good news unless you understand bad news. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. How many of you are sinners in here today? The rest of you are sinning now. I'm just kidding. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And because of this, the Bible makes clear in Romans 6:23, for the wage of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Who's thankful this morning for the free gift that God has given us? So thankful. The wages of sin is death. Sin is missing the mark. We've all chosen to choose sin and turn away from God's ways and choose our own. And it says that the penalty of that is death, but that God gives us a gift to save us. Then it goes on in Romans 5:8, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He came to pay your price, to save you at your worst, not your best. Any of you like me ever get up and go, I gotta make myself look the best version of myself today? Anyone ever take time doing that? Am I alone in that, right? God came to save you at your very worst, not just your worst, your very worst. How many of you are aware of your very, very worst? That's when he came. So if we're to talk about salvation, salvation saved from what? Saved from our own sin, which was leading us towards destruction. And so he came to give us a gift to save us. He paid the price. How does one get saved? Here's the reminder today, church. Romans 10:9, this is beautiful, says this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can I get an amen? For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect, for they have the same Lord who gives generously. Listen, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you remember what it was like when you first called on the name of the Lord? In your very worst. I remember it was, for me, a very bad day. I was strung out on all kinds of different substances, and I had been living for the world for so long and paranoid, blocking the windows and the doors, sitting there in a corner, shaking with anxiety, and I saw a Bible that my sneaky mother snuck into my apartment. And I turned to Isaiah 53, and it says, he was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. And it was like God used his word to have a light bulb go off, that he's not the God in the sky pointing fingers. He's the God that came down and took on our sin and then took our penalty to pay our price so that he could give us a free gift. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Can I get an amen, church? The helmet of salvation. And then the Bible is full with encouragements and warnings. It says, don't lose your assurance. Friends, we can have assurance today. We can have assurance that God is faithful, that he will do what he says he will do, that his son came and died and he is alive, and we call on him. And it's not just an acknowledgement of his existence. Even the demons believe and they shudder. It is an acknowledgement of him, of Lord, because we've realized when we're Lord, it leads to nothingness, doesn't it? It leads to emptiness. So this salvation, I am saved. I have assurance. Listen to this in 1 Thessalonians. It mentions this assurance and confidence that God wants us to have. It says, but let us who live in light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love. Listen, wearing our helmet, the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. I wanna ask you this. Does anyone in here have a hard time receiving encouragement? Lots of you do. I do. See, we can have confidence in the salvation that God has given us. We can wear it as our helmet. You know, last week, Blake talked about the fiery arrows that the enemy just keeps shooting them like over and over and over. And they're not necessarily one-shot kills, but they're just consistently shot. You know, if the helmet is the one-shot kill, right? The head, where you take out the head, the body will follow. Satan wants to take us out, but our confidence is in Jesus. And we can be confident. We can be assured. And when we aren't and we struggle to be confident, anyone ever struggle to be confident? We can build each other up. We can help put each other's armor on. Like Will so beautifully said, we can be the people who run after people who are missing. We can be the people who help bear each other's burdens. But in all of this, there's a battle, and the battle is in our minds. If you're following us in our notes, that's where we're going next. The battle of the mind. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, we are humans, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. Listen, to knock down what? The strongholds of what? Human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. See, we don't fight as humans fight. We can't just, like me as a wrestler, when I was a wrestler, go, I'm just gonna will myself to go out and defeat that enemy I see in front of me, right? We have an enemy we don't see in a battlefield that we have up here. This helmet protects our minds. And the enemy comes with arguments and teachings and philosophies and fantasies up here. And he comes in subtly to where you don't even realize it's him. You think it's your own thoughts up here. And so it's this fight that sometimes is so challenging because it's an enemy we don't see in a battlefield we don't see that's in our minds. And it says that we are to capture our thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. We put on the confidence and assurance of salvation, and we put on these pieces of armor. And Satan is a confidence killer. If we can have confidence in our salvation, then what does he want to do? He wants to destroy your confidence in your salvation. He is a confidence killer. It says he wants to steal your joy. And he wants to do it up here. He wants to do it subtly. He wants to do it silently. And he loves to do it. Here are some confidence killers that he puts in our minds at times with different thoughts. He'll come in and say, God doesn't love you. You continue to struggle, you believer. A believer wouldn't struggle like this. Are you sure you're even saved? Are you sure he can continue to love you? Can he really continue to forgive you? A believer should not wrestle like you are. You are disgusting to God. Some of you came in here today believing lies from the enemy. He points out every little mistake. It says he's the accuser of the brethren. He convinces you that you have no worth. Some of you are in here today, you do believe you have no worth. But you are made in the image of God. To receive those lies breaks my heart when we do, because you're made in the image of God, and even at your worst, he still loves you. He goes, there's no fruit in your life, and you need to have fruit. A real Christian has the fruits of the Spirit. Where's your love and your joy and your peace and your patience? Why do you snap at your kids the way that you do? Why are you getting in a fight with your spouse? You don't want to, but you do. Where's the fruit? You better start trying harder, because this is what Satan wants to do. He wants you to get you in your own effort instead of walking in the Spirit. He wants you to go by your own hard bootstraps and go and will yourself. No, we have a confidence, and the gift is from Jesus. Can I get an amen? We're secure in Jesus, what Jesus has done. And now we strive to let the Spirit lead us into fruit, not to be saved, not to earn our way, not to get enough, not to be good with God, but because we already are in Jesus. Can I get an amen? He wants to steal our confidence and joy. I want to use some analogies, some thought analogies that I think are helpful for us today. I have these jars over here, and some of you are like, why are these rubies up here? I want you to imagine this is your mind, right? An empty cup, that's your mind. I'm just kidding. That is your mind today. Satan comes along with his red little evil little things, and he plants thoughts, you're not loved. And then We don't realize that he plants it, and then he comes over here and he condemns us, even though he's the one that put the thought in there. And he goes, a real Christian wouldn't doubt they're loved. You can't be forgiven. A real Christian wouldn't doubt their forgiveness. You have no fruit. A real Christian would have fruit. I mean, you go on and on and on, and he condemns us. He puts these thoughts in our minds. What are those for you this morning? You're not loved or unique. You're not special. There's no way you're getting through this. They seem to be doing it. People raise their hand during worship. You don't have a good relationship with God. I mean, you have nothing with God. You're not a good parent. You're not good at your job. You just mess up every time. These thoughts constantly are in our minds, aren't they? And I don't get wrapped up. Sometimes it's our own sinful nature. Sometimes it's things that people have said, and they've shown it to us by how they've lived their life. They've treated you poorly. They've said negative things about you. And then you see it. There's another helpful analogy for me. It's by Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee says, if you were to walk outside and if you were to say that birds that are flying over your head, if I were to say to you, you have to stop every bird from flying over your head for the rest of your life, that would be impossible. You could not stop birds flying over your head. However, you could stop a bird from coming and nesting in your hair, couldn't you? You see, we can't always control the thoughts that are going on in our minds, the things that are coming through our minds, right? They come through our minds and they're just there. But the devil says a real Christian wouldn't even have them there, right? But we can, however, stop them from nesting in our hair. You're so worthless. No, I'm not. God thinks about me more than grains of sand. You can't be forgiven. Yes, I can. He paid for my price. You're not unique. Yes, I am. I'm made in the image of God. You can't always control the thoughts that are going through your minds. You can, however, friends, go, that's not true. It's not true. An example of this, when Jesus was in the desert, you know the story? You know the story? Jesus is in the desert and Satan comes and he's fasting, and Satan comes to him and says, if you're really the Son of God, turn this to bread. Thought in Jesus' mind. That would have been a thought that went to his mind when that statement was said. Did Jesus ever sin, friends? And he goes, I'm not gonna test the Lord my God. Says, if you want to have all this stuff now, I know you're here, but God allowed you to come to earth, and I know someday you're going to be the Son of God, but why don't you take matters into your own hands now? If you bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you all now. That would have been a thought that went into Jesus' head. Did Jesus ever sin, friends? No, he took that and goes, nope, away from thee, Satan. Jesus never sinned. We have thoughts going through our minds, but friends, we don't have to let them take root. Just because they're there, friends, does not mean you are those things or you've done things wrong. You can capture them and make it obedient to Christ. We can stand on the confidence of our salvation. You know what's crazy? And all of these pieces of the armor are linked to each other. And they all come from the truths of the gospel. And so we're talking about the helmet of salvation, but to know salvation, you need truth, right? And then when you put on that, you're gonna have peace. They're all interconnected. And you know what's really interesting about thoughts and trying to recognize what lies are? Do you know that when they're trying to train people for counterfeit money, there's so many variations of counterfeit money now that they couldn't possibly train all the new ways that there are counterfeit money. And so what do? They don't even waste their time training people because there's always gonna be new ones. You know what they have their people focus on? Only what's true. And if you so know what true is, then anything that presents itself that isn't that, you can discard. We can, in our minds, put on these different pieces of the armor and stand firm in who God is. Here are some thought filters for you. Everyone say thought filters. You're still alive. Good job. You're still there. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. For me, I was an ex-addict who got clean and gave my life to the Lord, had a passion for ministry, but because of the drugs that I did, I deal with mental health issues and I have constant battles in my mind on top of just the day-to-day. But I believe this, every single one of us has a battle in our minds. Would you agree? Every one of us. And for me, here are some thought filters as we think of our minds and the truth and the peace and the righteousness of Christ that I possess and have. Here are some interpreting thought scripture filters for you. 2 Corinthians says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Can I get an amen? If I am in my mind experiencing something that isn't leading me to freedom, it probably isn't God's voice. Can I get an amen? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It says perfect love in 1 John casts out fear. If I in my mind and heart am experiencing fear that won't go away, then it probably isn't God's voice. Satan comes in with accusation and condemnation. Even when we do things wrong, the Spirit comes and convicts us and leads us back to Jesus's forgiveness. So if I have fear and even half-truth, Satan loves to use scripture, but if it is causing fear that is persisting, then it probably isn't God's voice. If God isn't saying it, if he wouldn't say it and he wouldn't say it in that way, then I should take these thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Perfect love casts out fear. It says in 1 Corinthians 4, God is not a God of confusion. If I have confusion with no way out, the next reference in there is that the Lord will show us a way out. If I feel confused and I'm darned if I do and I'm darned if I don't and my back's against the wall and there's no way out, that is not God's voice in our minds. And it should be resisted. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. If I confess my sin and Satan is the one that comes and consistently brings them up over and over and over again, God says that he takes our sins, tramples them under his feet, throws them into the depths of the sea, never to be seen again. He throws out the record book. If I am constantly being re-reminded, it probably is not God's voice. These are thought filters. Listen to this in Isaiah 45. It says this, I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper obscurities in some dark corner. I would have not told the people of Israel to seek me if I could not be found. I, the Lord, speak only what is true and declare only what is right. If you have a thought, God's nowhere in your life. God doesn't listen to your prayers. God doesn't seem to be around you. It says, I publicly, boldly proclaim my promises. He says, I can be found. Just because your feelings or your thoughts or your circumstances are screaming something different does not mean that it's true. God's truth trumps our thoughts, feelings, and circumstances, don't they, church? So if he says, I'm with you, then it means he's with you, friends. We have to learn to put on the helmet of salvation, the assurance of the gospel, the assurance and confidence that what he proclaims is what is reality over what I perceive as reality. So if there's condemnation, guess what? It's not God. If there's confusion, nope. Look to your neighbor and say, nope. You thought I was joking. Look to your neighbor and say, nope. Some of you are like, that's weird. That's fine. If there's fear without a way out, it's not him. Thoughts that point anything contrary to what God says is not God. As we go to this last section today, I believe we have to preach ourselves to the gospel every single day. And out of the gospel are all of the truths that are birthed into the imagery of the armor of God. We have the righteousness of Christ. We have peace with God, so we can go to God. We can have faith, and we can trust that he is faithful. We can know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so there's a resource that through my own journey that I put together, and I've changed it over the years, and I add to it over time. And it's a document that I've put together called Preaching Yourself the Gospel. And if you're on the app, there's a link to it. It's gonna be on the screen behind me, and I'm gonna read it to you here in a minute. And there's also a QR code on your paper. So there's all versions of this. There is that resource and many others that I have put together, not for you, but for myself over the years. And I'm just deciding to share it with you today. If you wanna go check out those resources later, there's a bunch of them. But today I wanna read this to you. And I want you to think about what you need to put together to preach yourself the gospel. It takes about 3 minutes to read. I read it every single morning when I wake up. And I preach myself the gospel. And as you'll see in your notes and QR code, that there are verses attached to every single statement that you're gonna hear. And I wanna read it to you. If you wanna close your eyes, you can. If you wanna just look at me as I read it, or if you wanna follow along on the screen, I don't care, whatever you want to do, but I'm gonna read this to you. And I hope that the truth of God's word in these statements would speak to you. I wrote this for me, so you're gonna see me, but I'm gonna read it as if it's to you, because it is to you as well. God's love for you is deep and wide and long and high, so great that it cannot be fully understood. He thinks precious thoughts about you that outnumber the grains of sand on earth, and he knows the very hairs on your head. He doesn't just say this to you, he shows you by sending his son to die for you, paying your price with the precious, spotless Lamb of God. He did not do this when you were at your best, but at your worst, proving through the gospel that he saves the worst of sinners. Because of Christ, you have been brought into his presence where you can boldly approach his throne to receive grace when you need it most. You are saved not by your own effort, but by his grace through faith, and it is an amazing free gift. You are seen as flawless before him, clothed in his righteousness, declared righteous because of him. Your sins are gone, stomped under his feet, put behind his back, thrown into the depths of the sea, never to be seen again, forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Can I get an amen? He goes before you, stands behind you. His promises will never fail you, and he will never change. He has given you everything that you need in his promises, which are our trustworthy anchor for your soul. He is faithful, giving us his promise and his oath. So will you preach the gospel to yourself every day and stand on the victory ground where Christ declared it is finished? Will you put on the armor of God, knowing the war is won, but the battle continues? Will you take every thought captive, trusting the Lord with all your heart, even when you don't understand, and trust that he will make your path straight? He is in control and will fight for you. You just need to trust him and stay calm. When the devil lies and your thoughts and feelings and circumstances contradict God's truth, will you cry out, rely on, long for, and seek his voice and truth? When your heart condemns you, will you trust that God is greater than your feelings and his truth transcends what you feel, think, or see? And then last paragraph, the battle within you proves your new heart longs to do what is right. When your flesh wars against the spirit, will you see, as God does, that it is dead and defeated? Will you put on Christ, rest in his righteousness, stand firm as his own? Nothing can separate you from his love. You are under grace because of Christ. Can I get an amen? This morning, if you are a believer today, those realities are yours. Would you put them on? If you are not in here believing in Jesus today, then he stands at the door and he knocks. The devil is lying to you. And it says, today is the day. It says, our life is a mist, that it is here today and gone tomorrow. You have no idea, friends, when he's coming back. And he is waiting, it says, because he wishes none to perish. He wishes none to be lost. He wants you to have salvation and a confidence as you fight this battle, a trust that the war has been won. Would you receive him today? I want to ask you these questions as we close in here today. Do you need saved today? If you're online, do you need saved today? Because he will save you if you let him. I want to ask you this. What thoughts today do you need to capture? What thoughts have been going through your mind even as you walked in here today? What thoughts have been plaguing you? And as we walk through truth today, as we walk through what salvation is today, what thoughts do you need to go, I don't care what I think, what I feel, what I perceive. I will not trust in those. I will trust in Jesus.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.